Mr. Wagner, welcome to SBS Radio Armenian program.
I'm very pleased to speak to you.
It's almost impossible to talk about the Armenian genocide without mentioning your father, Armin Wagner. He was one of the few who witnessed the Armenian genocide and put his life in danger to let the world know about the Armenian tragedy. He must have been a man with a strong will to disobey his military superiors and report about the Armenian genocide.
Yes, he was in some way son of his mother, who was herself very interested in social problems. She was guiding the movement of women in Germany in the beginning of this century. So he was, since his youth, very interested in everything which was concerned with justice and social help. And I think that that influenced him a lot. So that he did it without thinking that if it would be in danger for him or not. He did it because he felt he was obliged to do it.
So his upbringing in Germany made him strong enough and prepared him for the horrors of the Armenian genocide?
Certainly. Like many artists and creative people, they don't bother about their own person. They are too much involved with the subject or the creative problem they are working with. And I think that this experience in Anatolia was certainly something that filled up his life completely. He had eyes to look at, and he looked at it, and so he couldn't say, "I'm not seeing."
I think he knew about the Armenian massacres because his father had read him a story about the 1895 massacres.
Yes, that's true. He knew already something, but I think that what really moved him was the experience he did by himself. It touched him so deeply that it took me much later, I got the possibility to understand what it meant to him, how much this experience involved him, because after his death, going through some of the papers which concerned his early experience, I understood that he could never again forget what he had seen. It remained deep in his memory, and it went with him through all his life.
How did he find himself in Asia Minor? Did he volunteer to go there?
Yes, he was volunteer in the Red Cross of the German Army, and in some way he searched to do that because he loved to have this experience traveling around. He started to travel since he was quite young. I remember that he went, for instance, to Messina in Sicily in the beginning of the century. I think it was 1905. There was this very big earthquake in which many people died in Messina. That's in Sicily, just touching the Italian continent. And so he wanted very much to know much more about people and different societies and different destinies.
When you were growing up, did you talk about his experiences in Asia Minor and Mesopotamia?
You mean if he spoke to me about
yes.
that? No, that's I have big discussions, or let's say it, I'm talking with my father, but all that happened after his death. I think in the family we were, my mother was an artist. Certainly, I've hereditated a great wish to do many things, so that in some way we were a very strong and touched family between each other, but everybody had his own life, and many things I understood, and I had a chance to talk to my father, I would say, really after his death.
Approximately how many photos are kept in your father's archives?
I think in the archive in Germany there are about another 300 photographs all together, so that it's quite a quantity he did.
How he was discovered, that he was sending photo and other materials to his mother or outside of...
Well, he brought them by himself, leaving mostly, as far as I know, he brought a lot by himself, leaving Turkey. He got ill, and so he was allowed to leave Turkey. That's what I know about. The point is that he tried very much to make these photos and the whole experience he made being known outside Turkey in Europe, and this was the great problem for him, that few people listened to him and to wanting to know really what was going on.
His photographic plates still exist?
They are all in there is a national place in Germany where they keep all this material, and they are very well kept in constant temperature, and so this is a place which belongs to the German government.
When he was arrested, were some of his photos confiscated or destroyed?
As far as I know, no. He was not really found out that he had done these pictures.
How long he stayed in Asia Minor, in Turkey?
Well, altogether, it was certainly for 1 year, 1 year and a half. As far as I know, not much more.
How many books he published about the Armenian genocide?
Well, this is the great problem. He did not publish any book because the first thing, when he came back, he tried to he published some novels about Turkey. They are called the Turkish novels. He started to write a book, a whole story, a very important and big book about this genocide. The point is that very early he was then involved in the problems raising up with the Nazis, and so he was in concentrate camps, and because he wrote an open letter to Hitler, and then he had to leave Germany, and that broke him a second time, so that he after that he was not really more longer able to write books. He started many, especially these two stories, one about Armenia and one about the Nazi Germany, and he didn't succeed to finish them.
Copies exist of some of the work he's done?
The copies do all exist. They are all in the same governmental place in Germany, and we are trying very hard to see if we can put some of his writings together to succeed, at least to have some documentation to publish.
Are the photos, all the photos published?
No, not at all. Only the few group of photos which are the most known were published, or were in exhibitions, or because my father tried naturally he gave all the photos. He was asked by Armenians if it was in America or if it was in Europe, so that there's quite an amount of pictures which went around, but there's still a lot which are not, have not been published.
Part of your father's ashes are buried in Dizanagapert in Yerevan. Could you talk about it, how it was organized, the reburial in Armenia?
Well, this was an incredible story for me, because I was once asked in Milan, there was an exhibition about the German artists who left Germany and went to Italy to live here during the war. And so I met Piero Kuchukian, who asked me if I would agree to take the rest of my father to Yerevan. And so it happened that the ashes of my father are in Stromboli, and that I took some of that and brought some of the ashes, because his original wish was to be thrown into the volcano of the island where he was a lot in summertime in the last years of his life. And so I took some of the ashes and brought them to Yerevan, and in this incredible, beautiful national monument where they were buried. And this, I must say, was a very, very strong impression, especially because I got in touch with a lot of the few Armenians who were left from the massacres or who were children when it happened. And it was an incredible experience to speak to these people and to understand how important the figure of my father is to all these people, to see that simple people do know that this man existed and did something for the Armenians. I felt sometimes very uncomfortable because they were so kind and so full of love to me, and I'm in some way only the son, and they behaved to me as if I was in some way a part of my father, and it was an incredible experience.
You said he had a very hard life in Germany. In his last years, did he reconcile with his life as an exile living outside Germany?
Well, this is one of the great problems. In some way, he never really wanted to stay in Italy. The problem was that after the war, when it would have been possible to go back to Germany, he didn't succeed. And the real reason is the language changed. I must explain what I mean. Before the war, there was a kind of German language. When the Nazi came, they changed this language into a Nazi German language. And after the war, by the occupation of Allies, it changed again. So when he came back, in some way, he felt as a foreigner in his own country, and he didn't really any longer decide to go back to Germany. So he was connected to Germany, which was a historic Germany, which finished, and he had very great problems to follow. It was as if he was out of time. He has lost the continuity of Germany, having a new life and living a lot also in the past. When he died because he didn't want any longer to live, he felt he had no contact any longer to what was going on in the earth.
He didn't have an easy life. First he witnessed the Armenian Genocide and suffered under Nazi Germany. Was it difficult for you to grow up having a father with so many tragic memories?
No. This is, I must thank destiny. I was born as a not very complicated person, if you allow me to say that. I have 5 children, and I've been watching them since there was... 3 of them I was there when they were born. And I can tell you that we are really all born with our character. And this, you can do a lot, but the original character is the strong point you have. And in some way, the place I was born, which was Positano, which is south of Naples and where I've grown up, the character of these people, the music, it made everything... I really must say I didn't have a difficult life. I've been asked several times by journalists, and once especially when in the German newspaper Stern there was a long, with pictures about my father, and this journalist made me an interview and wanted definitely to find out that I had a very difficult youth, and he had to give up at the end. No, I had an incredible free youth, and the tragedy of my father came to me, and it made me understand, and it made me active for his memory. But I would say after the death of my mother, in some way I've got in the steps of my father at the age when when I was born. He was 56 when I was born, and I must say it's only the last years, and especially I have to thank very much to Piero Kuchukian, who opened to me all these aspects and experience of life, which maybe without his asking me and the travel to Yerevan wouldn't have happened so deep and wouldn't have involved me so much.
Do you have contact with the Armenian community in Italy or elsewhere?
Yes, there is some contact, and I am more and more involved in significant meetings or round tables which do happen. There was one in the beginning of May here in Rome with the exhibition of the Armenian tragedy and of my father. I was invited and participated, and so by these situations I meet a lot of people which otherwise I would have no chance to know.
Last week I did an interview with Pietro Kuchugian, and he said that you are involved in the recognition of the Armenian Genocide in the European Parliament.
I'm very hard trying a project which came up to my mind just at that round table at the beginning of May. At the beginning of May, there was this very important round table. It was important because they participated several
influential people.
Yes, they are lawyers. They were in the Italian Constitution department and so on. And then there was the chief of the Jewish communities in Italy, Tullio Zevi, and several others. And it was very interesting, a very high level what they were saying about the Armenian tragedy and genocide, and what it meant in Europe, and that we are all aware of the fact that it was the first kind of genocide organized in some way in a modern technological way, and so in some way it came out that what should be done, because all the time when there are recognition of this genocide tried to be made by parliaments in Europe, like in France 2 years ago or in Italy just this year, the Turkish government tries to demonstrate that this is all stupid, and if these countries will do something, they will have great problems for their economic contacts to Turkey and so on. And then there was a man who spoke, who came, definitely sent by some Turkish organization, saying, "Oh, but what you're telling there, this is not so as you tell it. There were not so many people killed, and the Armenians have done also many things to the Turkish." I remember my father, who always was very much concerned between Israel and the Arabs. And it came up to my mind that in some way the real solution is that we have to find out a way to speak between the Turkish and the Armenians. That we have, I remember now in Europe, we have no longer this curtain, iron curtain. Anywhere, if you go from Germany down to all the other countries, but if you arrive in Armenia, between Turkey and Armenia, there is still this iron curtain. I can't forget, I was staying on the other side of the iron curtain, I mean on the other side, it's just what I want to say. I was in Armenia, and I was looking to Turkey, and I said, oh, they are the enemies, and suddenly I remembered, no, they are in the NATO. So what is it, how is it possible that is going on that way? And I think I will try very hard to do something about that. Also because there is this an organization called Armin Wegener in Germany, which will be increasing in this year with a big meeting we will have probably the end of October in Germany. And I want to do anything which could be done so that an open discussion between Turkey and Armenians do start. I think we have certainly people in the cultural movements in Turkey who are able and who will be ready to speak to the Armenians.
Did you have any part in a documentary about your father?
Yes, I went when we went to Armenia to bring the ashes of my father. In some way, the documentary shows that as if I was going searching for what my father did when he was in Armenia in 1915, but not only, also when he was invited as a special guest to Armenia much later. I can't remember when it was, but it was after the war, I think in the 60s, and he was at the Catholicos and the Armenian government.
So, Vakhtin, thanks very much for the interview, and it was a pleasure talking to you.
I thank you. I hope it was... it's difficult. I'm not all the time speaking English, so I had some difficulties to explain myself.